Free Talk Live. We are at Anarchapulco 2018 in the very first beginning morning of the first of several days of what, from what I can tell, is probably going to be the biggest libertarian, anarchist, voluntarist conference that I've ever been to. And Mark Edge will be joining me here shortly. He went off to find breakfast because we haven't done that yet this morning. I'm joined, though, by somebody who I met yesterday, actually, on the plane, actually, at the Mexico City airport. We're in Acapulco, Mexico, by the way, at the beautiful Princess Resort right on the beach in Acapulco. And if you don't already have your tickets, well, I'm sorry, the event is sold out, so you won't be able to make it this year. And I don't know how many people they're expecting. We're going to interview one of the organizers here. I think it's probably like 1,500 people. There are a lot of people in line right now to get their registrations and name badges and things like that. And I'm joined by Tim Pichot. Tim, welcome to Free Talk Live.
Thank you for having me, Ian.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
this is my first Anarchapulco, so this will definitely be the biggest anarcho voluntarist conference I've ever been to, because it'll be the first. But I'm amazed at how many people are here. Just, yeah. I mean, I was standing in line, and I mean, the line's probably at least 200 people deep to get a ticket, right?
I don't know how many hundreds. Yes, for sure.
At least.
And you can hear them behind you. I mean, it's just a constant cacophony of noise from people talking with one another, you know, old friends seeing one another again, and new people meeting new friends. So we met yesterday at Mexico City Airport. You were hanging out with Ernest Hancock from Freedom's Phoenix and Declare Your Independence. And apparently you guys live nearby in Arizona. You guys are friends from there?
Yeah, I'm one of Barry Hess, who ran for governor several times in Arizona, introduced us a few years back, and I've been on the show. I think I was on the show like over 20 times the past year.
Oh, wow.
Breaking down. I was pretty much his financial guy to break down what's going on in the system and to document the ongoing financial collapse as it occurs.
So the financial collapse. Now let's talk a little bit about that, and then we can talk about you and, like, you know, what your path and journey has been so far to liberty. So what kind of collapse are we talking about here? Are we talking about the collapse of the U.S. dollar?
I think ultimately it leads to the collapse of the U.S. dollar, because right now the Federal Reserve is in a rock and a hard place. That's of their own doing, so I don't feel sorry for them at all. But there's really three things they're trying to save. They're trying to save the stock market, the bond market, and the dollar. The real biggie right now is the bond market, because you've seen, for people to pay attention, the interest rates just the past 2 months have shot up dramatically. So they've gone from about 2.4% to about 2.8%, which might not sound like a lot, but when you have over $100 trillion of unfunded obligations, just imagine what that does to the interest payments. And so the Federal Reserve right now is in this pickle right now where, and again, this is something that I was documenting about 13 months ago. I gave a presentation on Ernie's show called The Trump Effect and Why Good News is Bad News. And the premise is, and I'm doing this in little air quotes right now, but we've got so much good news, and again, in air quotes, good news, in terms of inflation being above 2%, the job numbers, we know they're rigged, but, you know, they're supposedly low. So the Fed is losing cover to not raise rates. So during the, you know, 8 years of Obama, it was a constant flow of bad news. So the Fed kept kicking the can down the road. They kept getting excuses to not raise rates. Well, now, you know, Trump the other day tweeted out, "I don't understand why there's so much good news, yet the stock market goes down like there's bad news." I'm like, well, you should have listened to the presentation 13 months ago, because the real enchilada is not the stock market. It's the bond market. Because when the rates go up, whether it's the market dictating the rates, which is even worse, or the Federal Reserve raising rates.
Wait. Why would the market dictating rates be worse than the Federal Reserve? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because that means that the Federal Reserve's lost control. I mean, they've already
basically
lost
control. Isn't
that what
we want? Control. I mean, why do we want the Federal Reserve to even exist in the first place? You don't support them.
We
don't.
That's the entire reason that walked me down this path to begin with. And just a little bit about myself is, I was on the class that won. There's actually something called the Federal Reserve Challenge, where they indoctrinate college students.
It's not like eating a bunch of cinnamon or a Tide Pod or something like that. It's a different kind of challenge.
It's not quite like that. But yeah, they basically indoctrinate a bunch of kids, and then you sit around and pretend like you're Ben Bernanke or Alan Greenspan or Janet Yellen. My class won the national competition. I didn't know the Federal Reserve was private, and then I found out it was private, and I had a stockbroker's license. I was a certified financial planner, which
you should have known better, is what you're saying.
I was saying is, if I didn't know, how the hell did anybody else know? And so then I've been on a mission ever since then to really expose this. And we're really in unprecedented times right now where people are just whistling past the graveyard of all these major calamities that are about to occur. And we saw this just 2 weeks ago where the volatility index went up. People that were short the VIX, meaning they were betting for more complacency, they lost 90% of their money in one of these funds last week. And I was on Ernie's show on the 25th saying the worst thing you could do is to be short volatility. Maybe short Bitcoin. That might be worse than to be short the VIX.
But you're kind of new to Bitcoin from what you were telling me yesterday.
I am. I've been following it for a while, but the problem is, you know, I was listening to guys like Peter Schiff and right now half the audience is like boo, or probably 99% of the audience are like boo. But anyways, you know, I've been following the price movement for a while, but you know, I was down in the weeds of it and thinking, okay, you know, the odds of this really taking off, I didn't have the full appreciation for. It wasn't really until I found Ethereum and how there's decentralized applications that can run on top of that and the programmable money that I was like, wow, this is really something here.
Yeah, for sure.
And this has the power to overthrow governments, central banks, and then now that it's the genie's out of the bottle and we've got 65-year-olds coming up to me unsolicited who would never in a million years I thought would come and ask me about this. Now they're asking me about this unsolicited.
Yeah, we in Keene, New Hampshire, where I live, there's a little shop called Route 101 Local Goods, and we've got a Bitcoin vending machine in there. And it's interesting talking with Chris Reitman, who's one of our co-hosts normally on Free Talk Live. He's staying in Keene and working, but you know, he gets to meet the people who are new to Bitcoin every day, like people who come in, they've heard about Bitcoin, they want to get some, they want to use the Bitcoin vending machine, and there's a surprising number of elderly people of retirement age who are interested in this. You know, they have money, they've earned a lot of money in their time, and they want to put it in something that's not the dollar. So there's a lot of older folks who are getting into cryptocurrency, which is pretty exciting.
And it's exciting because a lot of these elderly people want to they want to be conservative, but what do they really want to conserve? They want to conserve their purchasing power. So a lot of
their
people
wealth,
think,
yeah.
So a lot of people think that, oh, I'm being really conservative and keeping all my money in dollars or keeping all my money in the bank, but really they're just going broke safely. And again, it's not wise for somebody who doesn't know what they're doing to all of a sudden put all their money into Bitcoin. I'm not advocating that.
No, that's a terrible idea.
But to have to pretend that this doesn't exist as an asset class is ridiculous. And that's actually, in order for me to come here today, I had to pay quite a hefty fine to get out of a contract. And my broker-dealer actually said, you're not allowed to talk about Bitcoin. You're not allowed to recommend Bitcoin.
Okay,
you're not allowed to pretend it even exists.
I want to hear more about that. Now, this is like Tim's old career that just ended.
2 days
right?
ago.
Literally before this conference. You were an advisor, an investment advisor.
I'm still a financial planner. Well, technically, until I get approval from the Crown, I'm pretty much unemployed for the next 30 days.
Okay.
But however, I'm still going to be a financial planner, but now I'll have access to crypto as well. But
you were working with some agency or what?
So sort of how it works. Sorry. So we got a lot of people behind us, as you guys could tell. But sort of how it works, without getting super boring, is I was an independent advisor, but I was clearing through a company.
By the way, hold on. Before you give us the story, the line of what's happening behind us here is there was this line that we mentioned earlier
Anarchy.
Of hundreds of people waiting to get their registrations taken care of. Nathan Freeman, who we'll have on later, the organizer of the conference, just walked out and basically, I'm pretty sure he just said, hey, everybody, just go on in. Screw waiting in the line, because I'm sure that's what all those people were waiting for. Yes, that we're being told, keep up the good work. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So, like, everybody who was waiting and probably would have been waiting for another hour at least to get their admission slips or whatever, their name badges and such, they just got to walk in, which is pretty cool. So, anyway, you were saying
exactly what I would expect here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty awesome thing. Actually, we're going to come back. You got time to sit and tell your story, right? All right, cool. Because you were going to wait in that line, too, and then you were getting ready to
I was about to go up to my room, take a shower, go get something to eat, and probably still come back and wait in the line. It was that long.
So, yeah, they're getting started inside. We're going to continue. Tim Pichot is with me from libertarianadvisor.com. That's your new website. And we'll talk more about that. We'll talk about your path and how you ended up here and all that here in moments. We are here at Anarchapulco 2018 in Acapulco, Mexico, the beautiful Princess Resort. We're going to continue here in moments. This is Free Talk Live. And once again, we'd love to have you come out and join us. If you're here, come up, say hello, grab a bumper sticker, etc. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. We are at Anarchapulco 2018, and they are just getting the festivities, the events officials kicking off right now. And they let everybody in that was in a line, as we mentioned earlier. Right now, we can hear from outside of the rooms. I don't know if you can pick that up, you know, where you're listening, but there's a tremendous level of bass. So it sounds like they got a pretty awesome sound system in there. And the seating, have you even been inside yet, Tim?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So I did peek in earlier, but that was before everybody rushed in. There are a lot of seats. I mean, this is a huge room. I was here last year. It wasn't at this location, but it was in Acapulco at a different hotel. I think they're related, the different hotels. But anyway, I would say the room last year might have held like 300-400 people. This room just goes back. I mean, it is tremendous. I think they're expecting 1,500 people or so here at Anarchapulco. Everybody has cleared out. They're in there. So we're actually kind of out here by ourselves at this point. And we're talking with Tim Pichot. He is from LibertarianAdvisor.com. You've got your own podcast. Is that available at Libertarian Advisor?
I do, yeah. So you can find it there. I've got a podcast section. I'm on all sorts of different platforms like iTunes, Google mm-hmm. Play, Stitcher, Podbean. I don't know. You can whatever you use, you probably have a way to hear me.
Cool. And so that's over at LibertarianAdvisor.com. We were just getting started in the last segment where you kind of talked about, or we're beginning to talk about, how you ended up here, meaning that how you ended up just generally coming to the ideas of liberty and specifically leaving your career, basically, and to where you said you had to pay some gigantic fee in order to leave a contract that you were in. So kind of pick that story back up wherever you left off.
All right, so I've been a financial advisor for about 10 years, but I started my career the day the market collapsed, the day Lehman Brothers went down. So I was, right from day one, trying to really reverse engineer how this whole thing occurred. And that's really what led me to guys. I was trying to figure out, okay, how do you fix this problem? And then once I really understood this problem, like, there is no fixing this problem because the money is backed by debt. And then
right.
I was thinking, you know, what politicians are there that are addressing these needs? So I found out about the Federal Reserve, which then led me to Ron Paul. So, I mean, a lot of people found out about Ron Paul,
then
which led them to the Fed.
Okay.
So I sort of did it a little bit backwards.
Yep.
And this is a while ago. And I started my career probably right around the same time Bitcoin was created, a little bit before Bitcoin.
Okay.
And, you know, I liked the idea of it, but I didn't really know. I take ownership of not taking, you know, not taking, I guess, well, not taking ownership of it. But,
yeah.
But I take full responsibility of not fully looking into all the different aspects of it. And I wasn't listening to LRN or didn't know Ernie.
Right.
I was still in New York, surrounded by all the, you know, crazy.
There's not much freedom in New York. That's
not
for
much
sure.
freedom in New York. So, I mean, I was just doing my part to not fit in with the rest of them. So, so I ended up starting my own firm 2 years ago. But even though it's your own firm, you still have to clear through somebody.
An investment advisor firm?
Yeah. So there's really two components. It's a little bit, you know, probably boring, but I had an investment advisory that I was working with, and I also had a broker dealer. Well, last month, the broker dealer banned all advisors from talking about Bitcoin, recommending Bitcoin.
Wow.
Even stocks related to Bitcoin.
Now, how many advisors are under this broker dealer that they were able to put
like
this?
Like 16,000-17,000.
My God. So this is
the
nationwide.
The largest independent broker dealer in America. I mean, you could find out what it is. I mean, pretty much every broker dealer has come out in the past 2 months and is banned. Like Merrill Lynch came out and banned it from all their advisors. They're probably 15,000-16,000.
What is going on there? Like, why is there some sort of plot by the banks to do this? What is your speculation as to why they would do that?
Well, without giving names of who, I mean, someone could, you know, easily stalk me and figure out where it was at. But the two of the letters in the name were P and L, because it was a merger of two companies, and the P and L and the company that was the broker dealer stood for private ledger. So if you want to think about what Bitcoin is at its heart,
it's
is a public ledger that it is literally going to disrupt. All the financial middlemen are going to be displaced.
So they're absolutely scared.
They have no idea. And the other reason is there's probably a lot of – you've got to really manage to the lowest common denominator. So you could have some renegade advisors out there, people who have no idea what Bitcoin is, but they heard, you know, it went up, 10,000% or whatever, and – so then they're going to just pour money into it. And so they're afraid of people not knowing what it is. And but guess what? I'm allowed to invest in all sorts of crazy stuff. I could have put money into that ETN that lost 90% last week.
Ooh.
I was on Ernie's show 2 weeks ago before that happened, saying that's the worst thing you could do. So let's just be clear about that. But yeah. I could have done that. I could have done all sorts of crazy stuff,
and you'd still be fine with those people.
Yeah, I could safely put you in the 7 to 10 year U.S. Treasury bond and safely lost you 2% last year. That's fine, but you know, God forbid, I tell a few people to put a tiny bit into it, or even talk about it, that they could afford to lose after doing a ton of planning. So, you know, obviously, not all financial planners are the same. They're not created equal. Just like if you're in the military, and again, I'm not for war, but you've got the guys who are out there, you know, who's skating by doing 3 push-ups, running 12-minute miles, skating by, getting in, and then you've got the elite special forces. And so it's like if you're a CFP, you're like in the elite special forces. Very few people have that. And the reason they don't require it is because most of the banks wouldn't have anybody to hire because it's too rigorous to even get.
So when did this diktat come down from on high? Was this pretty recent?
That was January.
Okay.
And so I was what I had done is, getting back a little bit to the genesis of the story, is I was in the pool at Ernie's house. Yeah. He was having a party. A lot of prominent libertarians like Michael Badnarik and some other people were in the pool. And he's like, hey, we've got some, you know, rich crypto guys, and I want to see if there's anything you can do from an estate planning perspective. And I'm like, well, you know what? I know what I would do for someone that was really rich normally, but I just don't know the lawyers or the foundations or the people to actually implement this plan from a crypto standpoint. But let me do some research. Well, randomly, 2 days later, this guy who I'd known said, hey, let me introduce you to my father. I'm like, well, who's your father? He's like, well, he's one of the top foundation guys in the country. So now I'm working with him. They've actually already implemented this before. And so, long story short on this, we're finding ways to, if you have crypto, let's say you have a lot of crypto, I can now get it into the economy. You get major, major tax breaks for putting money into these charitable trusts. And then the tax breaks then offset the income you're getting from this. And what, long story short, is we're basically doing the same techniques that guys like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and all these scumbags like Mark Zuckerberg do.
Because
when they say they give away their money, if people really knew what giving away your money, and again, I'm doing little air quotes here, they'd probably be outraged. But you know what? Don't hate the player. Hate the game. it's not my problem. I spent a lot of time figuring out and learning the techniques that basically the ultra elite use to avoid taxation on their own money and be able to preserve their own legacies. So part of my tagline for this is real legacies for virtual currencies. Turning
virtual currency into legacy or something like
that. Yeah, it was good. Whatever it is in the business card, it's good. But
you've got it down. All right, cool.
It was a long day traveling here yesterday.
Yeah, man. And well, it sure was. I was up all night, basically. I stayed up after our show on Wednesday night, went to Boston, and flew out of there at 5 a.m., and I didn't get any sleep except for maybe a couple of hours here and there on a couple of planes. So as soon as I got here last night, I know there was like an opening party or something, I just went straight to bed. I didn't go to the party. We're going to continue here in a few moments. Do you want to stay and continue the discussion?
Yep, and that was actually Real Legacies for Virtual Assets.
There you go. All right. Tim Pichot is with us from LibertarianAdvisor.com, and we are here at the Anarchapulco 2018. It's shaping up to be an amazing event. We're at the very, very beginning of it right now. More coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
Cryptocurrencies are successful because of good technology. The liberty-loving voluntarists who founded Zencash in 2017 took the best tech, like zero-knowledge anonymity and decentralized autonomous organizations, and are creating a secure platform for money, messages, and media that can be sent to anyone, anywhere in the world. Zencash is a cryptocurrency dedicated to peace, anonymity, and decentralization. Find out more at Zencash.com. That's Zencash.com.
This is Free Talk Live. We are here at Anarchapulco 2018. The crowd cheering behind us for whatever it is that's going on stage. There are hundreds of people here. I don't know. I mean, I'm not good at estimating crowd size, and I actually haven't gone in. Neither of us, Tim, we haven't gone in yet since they started the festivities inside this humongous room that they have behind us here. And I think it's just shaping up to be probably the biggest libertarian anarchist festival conference thing I've ever been to. I don't know about you. Have you ever been to many of these gatherings?
The only one that was probably similar would be Nexus Earth, which is up in Aspen. And that was a phenomenal conference. Many of the same speakers, but that was a much more intimate feel. Probably about 300-400 people there. But it was the first year. So, you know, getting people up to Aspen, which is not necessarily an easy place to get to. Not that this is an easy place to get to either.
Sure, but, yeah. There were a few different hops. I met a guy yesterday who was coming from Fargo who had to go to, like, he had to go to Baltimore and then to Chicago and then down to Houston and then to Mexico City. So he had, like, five connecting flights or something like that. It was ridiculous to get down there. So a lot of people are jumping through some hoops to come down here to Anarchapulco. You can go to anarchapulco.com to learn more about that. And it's all brought to you by bitcoin.com, by the way. Plus, Free Talk Live is, of course, brought to you also by bitcoin.com. So Tim Pichot is with us here from libertarianadvisor.com. We were talking about, you know, the idea that the government's financial system is, you know, teetering on the brink of collapse. You, having been an advisor, a financial advisor previously and still, but you had an agreement with some sort of agency that had come down with a diktat from on high saying that all 17,000 of our people, none of you advisors, are allowed to advise your clients to purchase Bitcoin or any cryptocurrency. And at that point, you'd learned enough about cryptocurrency to where you said, this is a deal breaker. I can't do this anymore. I can't work with you people anymore. And you quit.
Yeah. So, I mean, part of what happened is Ernie had come to me, had already told the story a little bit about, you know, hey, we need to get a program for these rich crypto guys. So then that led me to, like I just mentioned, the Nexus Earth conference, which I went to probably about 2 weeks after this initial idea had started to form. So at that conference, met a bunch of people, and they were asking me about another financial concept known as a self-directed IRA, where you can do really advanced things like purchase cryptocurrencies in your IRA, or you could put like racehorses, or basically anything except for a collectible and life insurance you can technically put in an IRA if you know what you're doing. But I didn't know what I was doing. That's pretty much one of the only things I didn't know how to do.
With those specific things?
In terms of like the financial industry, I didn't know... I just didn't know what that's just one of the things that I didn't do. It wasn't in the wheelhouse of what I did. So so fast forward about another month, I went to a financial media conference. So nothing to do with Bitcoin or libertarianism. And really, everybody was sort of laughing at me when I was talking to them about Bitcoin, trying to...
The other financial advisors.
Yeah, this is before it took off. This is probably weeks before it took off, probably 2 or 3 weeks before Bitcoin like really
shot up in to 10,000.
Before it was like in the mainstream like ethos of, you know... on CNBC constantly.
And it's flirting with 10,000 again today, by the way, for listeners maybe that haven't been paying close attention to the price. The Bitcoin price started to shoot up yesterday, basically when this conference started to gather some steam. So anyway, go ahead with...
Yeah, so and actually it was Derek Slopey, who, you know, I'm sure you guys, you know, a lot of you probably know who he is.
From Agris Hosting.
Of Agris Hosting, who first asked me about self-directed IRAs. I'm like, hey man, I'll be honest with you. I don't know, so let me look into this. So what happened was I ended up going to this other conference and met a guy who he was an investment advisor who owned his own firm who specialized in this. And so long story short is in the next month or so, I'm going to be officially on board with these guys. So if you want to be able to take, you know, part of your retirement and put it into Bitcoin, I'll be able to do that. And one of the advantages of that people don't understand is that I know people that have personally, and you probably know people that may have cashed out their retirements to purchase Bitcoin. Mm. Now, what I've letting people try to be aware of is that there might be a better way to do that if that's what you want to do. So if you're going to cash out your 401k, you're going to have to pay taxes. You're going to have to pay. It's automatically withhold. There's no getting around that. You've got to pay 10% penalty. Well, if you're going to pay a 10% penalty, you might as well move your money to a Roth IRA, avoid paying a 10% penalty, and then all your gains are legally tax-free.
All right.
So I'm going to have an investor guy that's coming out in the next month at my website. Because eventually Libertarian Advisor is going to be transitioned to the libertyadvisor.com, where you can right now actually register for a free half an hour consultation on the estate planning aspect of what we're doing. It's free because I can't charge for the next 30 days because I'm not technically, I'm just giving away information.
Right.
I'm not soliciting anybody for this. So, it's just information. So if you, if you got crypto riches, you want to figure out how to get it into the economy and, you know, and create legacies, put it into foundations, and part of this foundation strategy, what we're trying to come up with is we want to have these off-grid redoubts where people, disaster relief farms where you know, you'll be able to keep it into your family, pass it down through generations. It's all tax-free. And let's say you have a Houston hurricane or the hurricanes that go on in Florida. Well, then you'd have these off-grid farms that could then feed you know, people that would be in need at this point. So that's just one aspect. I mean, obviously, you don't have to do that. This is just one idea that we are trying to cultivate, having off-grid hydroponic farms.
Neat.
And so it's just a really cool aspect of, you know, hey, you know, this program we're setting up is it's going to make you way better off doing this than not doing it. And I've actually run some of the numbers, and it could, like, my fee, it could literally cost you 1,000 times more not talking to me than talking to me, assuming only a 10% growth rate in Bitcoin.
And it may be more than that.
And that's against, you know, the depreciation of the dollar. And, you know, I didn't want to use a super absurd number, but, you know, 10 means a 10 might be absurd to the low side, given what might be coming in the dollar.
So your first impression so far of Anarchapulco, did you guys go to the party last night? I didn't get a chance. I got here out.
After we had dropped you off, the line for us to register was probably just as long as that line. And Ernie and I
You mean to get into the hotel?
Yeah, so Ernie and I were at, like, the very end of that line.
Wow.
Maybe, like, five people back from the very, very end. So by the time we got to the room, it was probably close to, like, 11 local time here. Then we still went down a little bit, probably had two beers, and then went back up to the room, probably around like 1:40, and I went for a run this morning and thought I'd just waltz right in and get a badge, and
turns out the line was humongous, and people are already starting to queue up yet again as the festivities have begun inside. Tim Pichot from LibertarianAdvisor.com. Good luck with the new career path. I think that's very exciting. I know that you were saying that your family wasn't so sure about it, but hopefully you'll be able to prove them wrong here in the next
year. They watched the Making Bitcoin documentary. They're like, you know, there's a guy named Charlie Schrem, and Charlie Schrem went to jail.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm
we knew him before he went to jail.
Like, yeah, I saw the documentary. I know what you're talking about. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Have you met Charlie before?
I have not met Charlie.
I wonder if he's going to show up here. I guess we'll see. Anyway, thanks for coming on Free Talk Live.
Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it.